Welcome to Health for Life, your trusted source for health and wellness insights, proudly presented by Vitruvian Health, the comprehensive healthcare system serving Northwest Georgia and Southern Tennessee with leading entities like Hamilton Medical Center and Bradley Medical Center. We're dedicated to keeping our communities healthy and thriving.
Welcome to Health for Life. Today we're raising awareness about colorectal cancer, one of the most preventable cancers with proper screening. We're joined by Dr. Sergio Quijano, a board-certified gastroenterologist at Hamilton Physician Group, Gastroenterology in Dalton. Dr. Quijano attended medical school and completed his residency training at the New York University School of Medicine. He also completed his fellowship in gastroenterology at the SUNY Health Science Center at Brooklyn. Dr. Quijano treats patients with GI conditions, including GERD, abdominal pain, peptic ulcer disease, inflammatory bowel disease, liver conditions including fatty liver, hepatitis B, C, and functional GI conditions like gastroparesis and irritable bowel syndrome. He also performs general GI procedures such as upper endoscopies, colonoscopies, flexible sigmoidoscopies, video capsule endoscopies, and manometries. Dr. Quijano, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
We learned when you were on our show last that colonoscopies are the gold standard of colorectal cancer prevention, yet many people avoid them out of fear or misunderstanding. Can you describe for us what happens during a colonoscopy?
Yes. So the colonoscope is an instrument that's like a long tube that has a very special high-definition camera at the front of it and a light that helps us see inside your colon. So what we're looking at as we enter through your colon, we travel from the very end of your colon. So we enter through your anus and then travel all the way to the beginning of your colon, which is called your cecum. And from there, in the beginning of your colon, with that camera, we're looking at the walls and the lining of your colon. Mm-hmm. And again, so the goal is to look for these precancerous growths, these polyps that we call them, to find them and remove them.
You mentioned it having a high-end camera. How has the technology behind this procedure changed over the time that you've spent doing it?
I kind of came in as a fellow, as a gastroenterology fellow, when the cameras became transitioned from standard definition to high definition. Okay. So kind of like your TV in a way, right? If you, for those old enough to remember, you know, standard definition TVs were those tubes and the big box TVs where, you know, the resolution was okay. Yeah. It was good. And then all of a sudden now it's like with these high definition TVs that you see, the resolution is like you can see all the wrinkles and facial expressions. And so in the same way, that camera has undergone transformation in the last 10-15 years from that resolution to this high resolution where we can see small little growths as small as a millimeter to 2 millimeters in size and, oh, wow, and be able to remove them. For the patient themselves, I mean, you won't feel a difference. You don't you don't feel a polyp being removed, I guess, you know, because the sensation in your colon is not like your skin. You don't feel a polyp being removed. So a little 1 millimeter polyp or a 10 millimeter polyp or 20 millimeter polyp, you really won't feel a difference.
That's really good to know. And like this all happens during that procedure. There's do you have to, you know, observe it, then have them come back to actually do this?
Right. So luckily, we do it all in one procedure. So we detect and we remove all at the same time.
What are some common misconceptions about colonoscopies that patients tend to have?
That's one thing that we try again with education to inform patients about the procedure and describe the experience. I think it helps. But I think the biggest thing I hear is it, you know, about pain, you know, is it painful? Is it uncomfortable? Or and some patients are also afraid of the sedation. You know, I reassure them because the procedure isn't painful because, you know, we're not doing surgery. We're not cutting you open. It's within the colon. It used to be also that, again, with technology that we talked about before, we used to use just regular air to inflate the colons, right? So the colons normally collapse. We use air to inflate the colon, but now we use carbon dioxide. And the difference is that carbon dioxide diffuses, meaning like it dissipates faster than air, where air can get trapped. And a lot of times people would, and especially if you had your colonoscopy done more than 5 years ago, 10 years ago, sometimes people would have that discomfort after the procedure. But now that we use carbon dioxide, I don't see that anymore. Mm-hmm. So like that feeling of trapped gas that people have after the procedure, that bloated sensation has really gone away. So I reassure them with that. People ask how long the procedure is. The procedure really isn't that long. A colonoscopy can, you know, last usually 15-20 minutes. So it's not a very long procedure, so you're not sedated for a very long period of time. And then the sedation itself, so at Hamilton, we have an anesthesiologist that takes care of the sedation part of it. So, and it's really for comfort so that you're not awake or semi-awake for it. And the anesthesia that's used is a very light sedative, so it's enough that you're asleep and comfortable. So I think that's also another fear that people have about pursuing the procedure.
I definitely know how that feels. Like, the only experience I've had with sedation is like getting my wisdom teeth removed.
Right.
And that one probably hurts a lot more. But after waking up, I was like, oh, okay. It's done now. And I just went home. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. You appreciate that more than if you were awake and looking at the dentist themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would not be fun. And I definitely do think with getting colonoscopies, you know, my dad recently had one, so I saw him have to prepare. And it wasn't really too much. What could you say about actual colonoscopy prepping?
And I think that's probably the more cumbersome part of the examination is the bowel prep. Emphasize to my patients that the procedure itself, again, because it's not a long procedure and you're given a good sedative where you're comfortable, is the easy part. The more rigorous is the preparation day, we call it, you know, the day before the procedure, because you do have to clean your colon of the stool that's in there. And the two ways that we do it are the day before, clear liquid diet all day, pretty much. It's a lot of hydration. The more hydrated you are, the better the bowel prep works too. Mm. So it's not about not just eating or drinking. We recommend that you drink, obviously, just that you follow the instructions that we give you. And the instructions that we give are pretty clear and regards to the do's and don'ts of what you can and cannot drink, but usually it's just clear liquid. So anything that you put in the glass, you know, that's clear, a clear glass that you could see your other hand on the other side, that's okay. So apple juice, cranberry juice, things like that are good. Popsicles, Jello.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that's kind of like the all day, you know, before. And then in the evening, you start drinking the bowel prep solution, which are usually now, these days, are more lower volume. Before, it used to be these big gallon jugs that you had to drink. Now it's half of that amount, one the night before and one the morning of the procedure, depending on the hour of your procedure.
How often does somebody typically need a colonoscopy?
Good question. So again, if you are average risk, and meaning, again, no family history, you feel well, you feel fine, no symptoms, and you had a colonoscopy that was clean, meaning that the bowel prep was, you know, was excellent or good, then and you had no findings, no polyps, then the recommended interval would be 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And then it changes if you have, depending on the size of the polyp or the number of polyps, it could be 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years.
These things are super important, and you can go like quite a bit without getting one. Like a 10-year difference, a pretty big weight right there.
Unlike where, like mammograms, mm-hmm. For breast cancer, where you kind of do them annually, colon cancer, if anything, I would say is a slow growing process. So the typical colon cancer is it's a long process.
Are there any alternatives to getting a colonoscopy?
Yes, and that's important to know, because in the end, a screening test is to prevent a bad outcome. So there are alternatives that are non-invasive. So there are stool-based exams that are recommended by our societies as well that can substitute for a colonoscopy. And the one being called FIT, F-I-T, which stands for fecal immunochemical testing. And that's a stool test that you do at home. We order it in our office, or even primary care offices can do it. And it's a stool sample that you kind of scrape the stool, put it in a little vial, and submit it to our lab. And what it's detecting for is microscopic hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is like the part of the red blood cell, so it's looking for microscopic blood. And because obviously if there is something like that in your stool, then there's a risk that there may be either colon cancer that's early or a precancerous growth that's, you know, that could be growing in your colon without you having symptoms. And that's, you need a colonoscopy to investigate further. There's also a second test called a Cologuard or a fecal DNA test, which is a little bit more than this FIT, which detects blood, but also detects for genetic makeup, genetic changes in your stool that could be from a malignant growth. And it has very good data in terms of screening. And the only thing that I would say about stool tests is that you have to do that, and you have to be aware that if the test is positive, you're going to need a colonoscopy. It's great if it's negative, and that's good, and you don't have to do a colonoscopy. But if it's positive, then we have to investigate further, because that could mean you could have an early colon cancer.
What happens if a polyp is found during the colonoscopy?
During the exam, we have various instruments that we use to remove polyps. So if they were, depending on the size, we can easily remove them. And then we send them to pathology, and they help us determine what type of polyp, because there's different types of benign growths that are found in the colon. Again, removal is painless. You don't feel it. And once we get the pathology report, which usually is within a week or two, we notify you of when your next colonoscopy is.
You've kind of already, you've really reassured me on this next question, but just people might be wondering, how safe is a colonoscopy?
It's an extremely safe procedure.
When you're talking to your patients after the colonoscopy, are there any common things they tend to say?
The most common comment I get is they don't even realize that they had the test done, and they're surprised. And, and I tell them, the test itself is very easy. And, and as I said, with technology, now we're using carbon dioxide to inflate the colon, and the camera's being high definition and flexible, the tube's being flexible. The test itself, you won't even know that you had the test. And so I think patients are very pleasantly surprised that, and they're happy that they got it done, because it's something for their health.
For anybody that might still just be hesitant in some way or another, do you have any just the lasting advice for them to go home with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think our take home message here is that colon cancer is preventable, and doing a colonoscopy is the best test in regards to preventing that, meaning that if we find polyps that are precancerous, that are benign, and we take them out, preventing cancer from developing.
Well, Dr. Gajano, thank you once again for just coming onto our show and just talking to people about very important cancer screening.
Okay, thank you for having me.
This program in no way seeks to diagnose or treat illness or to replace professional medical care. Please see your healthcare provider if you have a health problem.
Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System.